gives a message of prophecy or somebody speaks in tongues? I don't think so, do you? I don't think that's the issue at all. And so I want to encourage you to not be afraid. All right? The Holy Spirit is supernatural. And as a matter of fact, I think God has positioned us as a church to really meet the need of that hunger for the supernatural phenomenon, for something above the natural. The Holy Spirit is the power of God. And how many know we need to turn people on to the power of God and turn away from the powers of darkness? Isn't that right? And so that's the heart of where we're at in this particular series. Now today, I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit in 3D. I should have brought my 3D glasses, and it would have been a better illustration. But the more formal title is the three dimensions of relationship that we can have with the Holy Spirit. The three dimensions of relationship that we can have with the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to look at the text. It's in Acts chapter 9 is where we're going to begin. Well, before we read that scripture, let me tell you this story. How many have heard of D.L. Moody? Okay, president of founder of Moody Bible Institute. Here's a story. D.L. Moody was a famous evangelist based out of Chicago. One particular instance, he writes about his infilling or baptism in the Holy Spirit. It seems that every week after Brother Moody would preach, a couple of smiling, gentle-hearted elderly ladies would approach him and kindly and respectfully whisper, "Brother Moody, we are praying that God would fill you with the Holy Ghost." Moody would respond, "I am already filled with the Holy Ghost, ladies. When I accepted Jesus, I was filled, so stop praying." That sounds like a good Baptist answer, doesn't it? All right? Nonetheless, each week, these two precious women would repeat their words to the evangelist that they were praying for him to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They almost became a source of irritation to Moody until one day he describes how their prayer was answered. He was sitting in a room when suddenly the presence of God came upon him in a most unusual way. In joyful ecstasy, he began to praise God and utter things that no human could understand. He sensed the presence of God in a way like he never had before, when surprisingly, he began to utter words and sounds as if they were rising from his innermost being. A wonderful love, joy, and peace enveloped the famous evangelist. The next week, he walked to the pulpit and preached as he always had, but something was different. 10 times more people were responding to his altar calls to receive Christ. There was an unexplainable, magnified spiritual power in his ministry now. Moody was now living in a different dimension of relationship with the Holy Spirit. It's fascinating to know how much of this great evangelist's success came after his experience of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, I tell you that story to set up our understanding of the different types of dimensions that we can have with the Holy Spirit. A matter of fact, a few weeks ago when we started this series, we had several of you, we asked you to write questions about the Holy Spirit. Questions that you'd like to have answered. And a lot of the questions were like this. One person said, "Pastor, didn't I receive the Holy Spirit when I gave my life to Christ?" One person said, "When I got baptized in water, wasn't I also baptized in the Holy Spirit?" So how many know we need to answer these questions from the Word of God and have a correct understanding of what does baptism mean and what does Holy Spirit mean in the different relationships with the Holy Spirit? And today, from the Word of God, I think if you will stay with me for these next few minutes, I think God will put a linchpin in your spirit, and so much of this will come together as we try to understand what these different relationships with the Holy Spirit is like. Let's start in Acts chapter 19. The scripture there, that it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." Then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied." Now the men were about 12 in all. Now we start there with these verses in Acts chapter 19 because it gives us a picture of different dimensions of relationship that we can have with the Holy Spirit. I want you to notice the progression. First of all, these guys in Ephesus, first, they put their faith in Christ alone for salvation. Paul said John's baptism is not enough. You got to be baptized for the remission of sins, faith in Jesus Christ. Okay? So Paul preached to them. They gave their lives to Christ. They were baptized in water. And then the Bible says Paul laid hands on them. They received the Holy Spirit. Oh, how do they know that? They spoke in tongues and prophesied. That sounds a lot like Acts 2:38, doesn't it? When Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm just showing that to show you that there are different dimensions of relationship that we can have with the Holy Spirit. And it's summed up in three words. Okay? Here you are. The first word is with. Everybody say with. The second word is in. Everybody say in. Third word is upon. Everybody say upon. Now, it's on your notes there. I want you to write this in. The Holy Spirit is with everybody. The whole world. Believers, unbelievers, every living, breathing soul, the Holy Spirit is with them. The Holy Spirit, secondly, the Holy Spirit is in all believers in Jesus. All those who have put their faith in Christ, all those who are followers of Christ, those who have committed their lives to Christ, repented of their sins, the Holy Spirit is in them. But the third dimension of relationship is the Holy Spirit is upon the Spirit-baptized believer. So the Holy Spirit is with everybody, including unbelievers. The Holy Spirit is in all believers in Jesus, but the Holy Spirit is upon the Spirit-baptized believer. How many see the Holy Spirit in 3D already? Okay, so let's start with the first dimension. Trying to keep your attention here. The first two services didn't get those sound effects, is all I'm saying. By the time the third time comes around, it is perfection. Right? All the flaws are gone. All right? The first dimension of relationship with the Holy Spirit is with. Everybody say with. Now, what we're saying is the Holy Spirit is with all people, even people who have yet to give their lives to Christ. Even people who aren't in church today, they're not serving God today, the Holy Spirit is with them. Look at what Jesus said in John 16, verse 7. He said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin. Now, who is in the world? Everybody. Who does that cover? Every living, breathing person. Jesus said the Holy Spirit's job is to convict the world of sin. So the Holy Spirit is with everybody, drawing them to Jesus, convicting them of sin. Does that make sense? See, the Holy Spirit is the one who draws people to God. He's the one that convicts people of sin. Matter of fact, that's his name. He is the convictor or the convincer. He convinces unbelievers that they're lost, that they're without hope. He convicts the unbeliever about sin and draws men and women to Jesus Christ. Charles Spurgeon called him the Hound of Heaven. Imagine that picture right there. The Hound of Heaven chasing after you, nipping at your heels. Give your life to Christ. Give your life to Christ. And you know what? There are people in this room today. The Holy Spirit, the Hound of Heaven, has been barking at your heels. It's today. Today is your day. Today is the day of salvation. You need to give your life to Christ. He's keeping you awake at night. You're thinking about eternity. You're thinking about life. You're thinking about death. What's that? That is the Holy Spirit of God with you, drawing you to Jesus. At an altar call or wherever you may be, the Holy Spirit finally closes the deal. You know what? Because the Holy Spirit can't save you. He doesn't make you get saved. You have to choose to put your faith in Christ. Holy Spirit's not going to make you get saved. Holy Spirit's not going to make you surrender your heart to Christ. You have to yield to Jesus. That's your part. The Holy Spirit's job is to convict you. It's your and our part to yield to that. Somebody say amen. Amen. So the Holy Spirit is with the unbeliever, but not in the unbeliever. Are you with me? So when I pray for family members who don't know Jesus, I'm praying, Holy Spirit, go with them. I'm praying, Hound of Heaven, get their attention. Do whatever it takes so that they will give their lives to Christ, right? They need Jesus. That's the role of the Holy Spirit, to draw men to Jesus. Now look what Jesus said in John 14, verse 16. I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Because it neither sees him or knows him. But you know him, for he dwells, what? With you and will be in you. Now watch this. Even the disciples did not have the Holy Spirit in them until after Jesus was resurrected from the dead. Follow me. Even the disciples did not have the Holy Spirit in them until after Jesus was resurrected from the dead. Jesus is the one that makes that distinction. He dwells with you now, but he will be in you. The Holy Spirit was with them on that day, just as the Holy Spirit is with everybody today. Because that's the Holy Spirit's job, is to convict us. Isn't that good news? The Holy Spirit is with your wayward child. The Holy Spirit is with that family member that needs Jesus. The Holy Spirit is with your neighbors, drawing them to Christ. The Holy Spirit is with the alcoholic, with the drug addict, with that person that needs to give their hearts to Christ. He's with them. Because how many know the day the Holy Spirit gives up on you, you are in big trouble. But the Holy Spirit does not give up on you because he loves you. The Bible says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So when we obey the Holy Spirit, we yield to God, and we invite Jesus Christ into our hearts and lives, that's how the second dimension takes place. The second dimension relationship with the Holy Spirit. The first dimension is, I have to do whatever it takes to keep your attention, is all I'm saying. The first dimension is with. The Holy Spirit is with everybody. The second dimension is in. Everybody say in. The Holy Spirit is with everybody, including unbelievers, but the Holy Spirit is in all people who put their faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. Now, I have a ton of scriptures, and there's not even all the scriptures I could give you, but look at this, what the scripture says. Galatians 4, 6, because you are sons, God sent the Spirit into our hearts. Romans chapter 8, verse 9, you, however, are controlled by the Spirit if the Spirit of God lives in you. 1 John 3:24, those who obey God's commands live in him and he in them. 2 Timothy 1:14, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives where? In us. Ephesians 4, verse 4, we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. So that means when I give my life to Christ, the Spirit of God takes up residence inside me. That's why the scripture says you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because when I give my heart to Christ, I now become the house of God. I have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of me. So when you ask a little child, do you have Jesus in your heart? Technically, it's the Holy Spirit, but they're both God and we're okay with that. Does that make sense? So the Holy Spirit has a big role in our salvation, right? Let's talk about the Holy Spirit's role in our salvation. If you don't understand salvation, you're probably not going to have it. So what's the Holy Spirit's role in salvation? First of all, the Holy Spirit, when we give our hearts to Christ, the Holy Spirit regenerates us. Now that's a great big $10 theological word. Titus chapter 3 verse 5 puts it this way. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. How many know the scripture says you can't get to heaven because you go on a missions trip? Because you build a house for somebody that's poor. You can't get to heaven just because you do good deeds for other folks. That's what he's saying. He says, but you get saved according to his mercy through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Now, what does that word regenerate mean, or regeneration? The definition is a spiritual renovation, the process of being made spiritually alive. So you know what happens? When I yield to the Holy Spirit, he's convicted me. He's drawn me to Jesus. I yield to him. I give my life to Christ. The Holy Spirit comes into me and says, move that bus. That old broken down, sinful heart and nature that I have, the Holy Spirit comes in and does a whole new renovation in my heart and makes me a brand new person. Everything old has passed away and everything has become new. So come on, somebody. That's the word of God. Amen. If you're old and made new and you're glad the Holy Spirit's done a renovation in your heart, give him praise in this place. That's awesome. So regenerate. Look at John chapter 3. Jesus said to Nicodemus, remember, you have to be born of the Spirit. Right? Ephesians 2:1, as for you, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Ezekiel 37 says, I'll put my Spirit in you and you shall live. 2 Corinthians 3:6, the Spirit gives life. Colossians 2:13, you were dead in your sins and God made you alive in Jesus. When you give your life to Christ, the Holy Spirit comes in and turns dead men into living people. Right? I was dead in my sins. He makes me alive in Jesus Christ. The Bible says the same Spirit that God raised Jesus from the dead now dwells in us. Woohoo! So the Holy Spirit regenerates us. This is good news. I'm encouraging myself. I hope you get encouraged. The other thing the Holy Spirit does when we're saved is He provides assurance. The Holy Spirit provides assurance. Romans 8:16, the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. How many know what happens as soon as somebody gives their heart to Christ? Here comes the devil. And he tries to sow seeds of doubt in your mind. You know, that really didn't mean anything. You know, it was just an emotional experience that you had. You know, it's not really a big deal. Those folks at this church, they're paid professionals. They know how to manipulate your emotions. And he starts talking to you to make you doubt your salvation. But you know what? The Holy Spirit's job is the exact opposite. He comes alongside you and says, praise God. And he says, you're a son of the living God. He provides us the assurance that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He testifies to us. How many remember what it's like to have a testimony, right? He testifies to you, dude, you're saved. Do you think the Holy Spirit uses the word dude? I think so. 1 John 4, we know that we live in Him and He in us because He has given us His Spirit. Ephesians 1:13, the promised Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. The Bible says the Holy Spirit on the inside of me is the deposit of heaven, so that when I die, I'm in the ground, or if I get raptured out of here, what is it that's going to make me rise from the dead? It's the Holy Spirit inside of me. The Spirit calls to Spirit, deep calls to deep, and I'm going to heaven because of the Spirit of God that's inside me. First John 5, 6, it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is truth. 2 Corinthians 1:21, He anointed us, set His seal of ownership in us, and put His Spirit in our hearts, guaranteeing. Guaranteeing what is to come. Ephesians 4:30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit, when I get saved, He regenerates me, He assures me, and the third thing He does is He sanctifies me. Now, sanctify is another great big theological word that simply means holy. The Holy Spirit works both within and on behalf of the believer to provide the sanctification that God requires for us to fellowship with Him, to live with Him. What does that mean? I saw it on a t-shirt years ago. It was depicted as simply as I've ever heard it said. It said this: the righteousness He requires is the righteousness His righteousness requires Him to require. Now, I don't know if you could use that as a tongue twister or not, but it works. The righteousness He requires is the righteousness His righteousness requires Him to require. What's the translation? The translation is easier in Hebrews 12. Without holiness, no man will see the Lord. God is holy. In order for us to be in His family, we have to be holy. How do I become holy? The Holy Spirit sanctifies me. The Holy Spirit holifies me. How about that? He makes me holy. 1 Peter 1 verse 1, to God's elect who have been chosen through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, from the beginning, God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. Romans chapter 1 verse 4, He's the Spirit of holiness. 1 Corinthians 6:11, you were washed, you were sanctified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. So guess what? When I am in this second dimension of relationship with the Holy Spirit is now in me. It's not me that's holy, it's Him in me that makes me holy. Well, you got to get that. The Holy Spirit is what makes me holy. He regenerates me, He assures me, and He sanctifies me. He's the one that makes me holy. How many know I need the Holy Spirit? Right? So that leads us to this next question that lots of folks have. Does that mean then that I need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit to make it to heaven? And that question usually means, do I need to speak in tongues in order to get to heaven? What do you think the answer is? The answer is no. Because what you need is that second dimension of relationship, the Holy Spirit in you. We'll talk about the third dimension in just a minute. You know why? Because you can't add anything to the work of the cross. It's not Jesus plus. Jesus plus this or Jesus plus that. No, it's Jesus is our salvation. By grace we have been saved through faith. Are you with me so far? And so anybody who puts that on you, let me pick the right words. Anybody who puts that on you, how about this? I'll say it nicely. They don't know what they're talking about. Was that mean? Thank you. Keep going. Every true believer and follower of Jesus has the Holy Spirit living in him. Are you with me? If you're a follower of Jesus, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit lives in me. That's good news. Now, that does not necessarily mean that every believer who has the Holy Spirit in them is baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul said to those Ephesians Christians. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? There is another dimension. Did you catch that? All Christians are indwelt by the Spirit, but the degree to which they enjoy His power and anointing is another matter. That leads us to the third dimension of the Holy Spirit. The third dimension of relationship with the Holy Spirit in 3D, the Holy Spirit is with everybody, even unbelievers. The Holy Spirit is in those who put their faith in Christ. Doesn't matter what your denominational label is, Catholic, Baptist, Pentecostal. You put your faith in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is inside you. But the third dimension of relationship that I want to talk about today is the upon relationship. The upon relationship. The Holy Spirit is upon every Spirit-baptized believer. And how many know upon is a completely different word than the words with and in? Now, if you think this sounds like a word game, remember, I'm not making this up. This is Jesus. Look at the scripture, Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come with you. Does it say with you? No. You receive power when the Holy Spirit has come inside you. No, Jesus used the word, he says, you receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Why? And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, Jesus makes a clear distinction, watch this, between the Spirit being in a believer and the Spirit being upon a believer. Because Jesus, here in Acts chapter 1, he's speaking to people who are already believers. Right? They have already put their faith in the risen Christ. The Holy Spirit was already in them, and now the Holy Spirit, Jesus is saying, there's another dimension of relationship, the upon relationship, that you need because you need power to be a witness for me. Now, see, Pastor, how do you know he was saying go from second to third? Let's go back to John chapter 20. In John chapter 20, remember after Jesus' resurrection, he appears to them, and what does Jesus say? He breathes on them and said, receive the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. So is that when they were baptized in the Holy Spirit? No. That is when they received the Holy Spirit inside them. At that moment, the disciples stepped out of the first dimension of relationship with the Holy Spirit and stepped into the second dimension of relationship with the Holy Spirit. He says, before the Holy Spirit was with you, now the Holy Spirit is in you. How many know we all get saved the same way by faith in the risen Christ? Now, Jesus was saying to these guys, now there's more. There's a third dimension. There is a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit. Not just with, not just in, but upon. Now let's take a time out for a second. How many know you can have different dimensions of relationship with people? You have acquaintances. You have neighbors. You have friends. You have BFFs. Some of you have 47 BFFs. You know, now I'm speaking the language, right? We have different dimensions of relationship with the folks. So why can't we have a different dimensions of relationship with the Holy Spirit? Does that make sense? Now listen. Why is the third dimension so important to Jesus that Jesus said to his disciples, don't leave Jerusalem until you receive this third dimension? Well, the reason Jesus said it's so important to them, because he knew how important it was to him. Look at Luke chapter 4, and let's go back in the story. This is at the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. And you'll remember that Jesus is standing in the temple, and he's reading these verses from the Old Testament. But I want you to look at what Jesus said. Luke chapter 4. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That's not a mistake. Jesus said that on purpose. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why? Because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus said, when I step into this third dimension, the Holy Spirit comes upon me. Why? So I can preach liberty to the captives. So I can help the oppressed to go free. Those who are blind to see the truth. And that I can heal broken hearts and preach the gospel to the poor and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. How many know that's the power of God? Amen. Listen to this. Go ahead. Give God praise. That's awesome. This third dimension was given by God to us solely for the purpose of helping us do the works of Jesus. Did not Jesus say, and greater works than these shall you do? So Jesus said, in order for you to do those greater works, you need this third dimension of relationship. Jesus needed the upon relationship with the Holy Spirit to do what God called him to do. Jesus told the disciples, you need this upon relationship to do what I've called you to do. And how many know today, 2,000 years later, Jesus is still saying, you need this third dimension of relationship to do what I've called you to do. What has God called you to do? Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Is that still not the mandate of the church? That's what God's called us to do. So guess what? Do I need the baptism in the Holy Spirit so I can get to heaven? No. I need the baptism of the Holy Spirit to stay here. I need the baptism of the Holy Spirit to accomplish the work of God. Look how simple this is. The Holy Spirit is with unbelievers, drawing them to Jesus. So that they will have the Holy Spirit in them, regenerating them, assuring them, sanctifying them. Then the Holy Spirit comes upon us so others can have the same experience. So that we'll have power to minister so that others will also have the Holy Spirit come inside them to regenerate them, to assure them, and to sanctify them. Makes perfect sense. The problem is we make it about everything else. We make it about spiritual gifts and tongues and controversy and this or that or the other when it's about souls. It's about the power of God to win the world to Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of the third dimension. That's the purpose of this Holy Spirit. It's not so that we can have some notch in our gospel belt. I'm better Christian than you are because I speak in tongues. I mean, no, a lot of people get turned off by that. Somehow I'm a second-class Christian because I'm not Pentecostal. Or I don't act like you or dress like you or talk like you. And some of you are saying, thank Jesus for that. Let me illustrate it for you, and we'll bring it to a close. There's more water in this cup in this service, so it's a little more dangerous. I'm going to come down here. If I have this cup, and right now it's got water in it, so pretend it doesn't. So if I take this cup, it's empty. I put it in a sink that's full of water. Okay? I set it in the sink, but the water doesn't come over the edge of it. I set it in the sink. I can say that this cup has water with it. Not in it, not upon it. It has water with it. Make sense? Now, if I tilt the cup a little bit, and allow that water in the sink to get inside of it and look at it, I can say that cup not only has water with it, now it has water with it and in it. Make sense? Now, if I put the cup in the sink and it's surrounded by water. There's water in it. And I turn the faucet on full blast, like it's fun to do sometimes. And you put that water in it, and the water's just flowing into it. What's happening now? That water now has water with it. This cup has water with it, has water in it, and now it has water upon it. You could say that cup has been baptized in water. You follow that? You see, the word baptism is a Greek word, baptizo, which means to be immersed or submerged. Why? We need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. We need to be submerged. We need to be overflowing with the life of God, because what's in us needs to come out of us so that others can have it in them. This is so simple, so important, and so powerful. The Holy Spirit is with everybody because He loves you. He's not willing that you perish. Holy Spirit is in you to do what you can't do yourself. You can't save yourself. But the Holy Spirit of God, He changes everything on the inside of you. And then we need this Holy Spirit to come upon us for the sake of others who also need salvation. That's what it's about. Isn't it like the devil to make it about everything else? He does not want us to be baptized in the Spirit. He does not want this living water flowing out of us as well. He says, you just stay right there. You worry about you and your family. Don't you get too radical with this church stuff now. You know, don't, you know, some of these folks are crazy. I mean, look at the video they showed. They're nuts. I'm trying to tell you the exact opposite. You know what? Here's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm normal. I did not expect that reaction. I'm a normal person whom the Holy Spirit drew to Jesus at a young age and filled me with what I need to be saved. And later on in life, I said, God, I want this baptism of the Holy Spirit because I know you want me to be a part of what you're doing in these last days. Let me tell you this. If you don't give a rip about people's souls, if you don't give a rip about people going to hell, you don't need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm shooting pretty straight right now. Pastor, I don't care about people going to hell. Then you might want to consider your own salvation. You might want to consider whether or not you are actually a follower of Jesus. Because if you've had a heart transplant, then you have the same heart for others that Jesus has. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All this week is, as we're preparing for today, the Holy Spirit was not so gently reminding me that there were going to be many people here today that are in that first dimension only. The Holy Spirit is just with you. The hound of heaven is on your heels. You've been up late at night thinking about life and death and eternity. You've been contemplating everything. You know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit of God drawing you, convicting you, because He loves you. But He is not yet in you because you haven't yielded your life to Christ. You haven't submitted your heart to Jesus Christ. And today is your day. The Holy Spirit of God sent me here today to tell you He loves you. And He has paid the ultimate price for your salvation so that you can live forever in heaven with Him. You don't have to keep living the way you're living. You don't have to keep putting up with what you're putting up with. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses you from all sin. And so today, will you yield to Christ? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Please, no one looking around. No one leaving. This is a very sacred moment. The most sacred moment in the entire service. In just a second, I'm going to count to three. When I say three, your hand's going to go up. You're going to say, Pastor, I need a relationship with God. I need Him to regenerate me. I need a new heart. I need a new life. I need Him to sanctify me. I need him to assure me. I need to know that I'm right with God. I want to invite the Holy Spirit of God to come in and make me a new person today. I'm ready to yield my life to Christ. The Holy Spirit is the one that gives you power over sin. The Holy Spirit is the one who helps you be an overcomer. You can't do this by yourself. You can't fix everything and then come to Jesus. He's the one who does it when you come to Him. When I say three, your hand's going to go up. Pastor, pray for me. I need Jesus. Christians, you're praying. One, would you listen to the Holy Spirit of God? He's tugging on your heart, knocking on the door of your spirit, saying, let me come in. I want to dwell in you. I want to be in you. I want to give you everything that I have. Do it today. Two, do not listen to that voice of darkness that says, there's another day, another time, another hour. Listen to the voice of God, the voice of truth. He says, today's the day of salvation. Sir, lady, young man, young lady, today's your day. When I say three, you put your hand up. Pastor, pray for me. I need to make it right with God today. All over this room. Are you ready? One, two, three. Put it up. Keep your hand up. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Many hands are up. God bless you. Keep them up for just one moment. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So many hands are raised. Hold them up for just one more moment, please. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your courage to raise your hand. Keep them up for just one moment. God bless you. God bless you. Many, many hands are raised today. You can put them down. Everybody stand with me if you would. And let's sing this song one more time. Spirit move in this temple. Spirit move in my life. Spirit move, I am calling. Spirit move, I am here. Spirit move in your temple. In my life, Spirit, I am calling. Spirit, heads are still bowed, eyes are still closed. Many, many of you raised your hand. Pastor, I want to make it right with God today. And I know when you raised your hand, you meant business. Not playing a game. Not trying to scratch some spiritual itch. But you have listened to the voice of the Spirit drawing you to Christ. I'm going to ask you to take one more step because I know you're serious about this today. In just a moment, I'm going to ask those of you that raised your hand, and there were many of you that raised your hand, to come to this altar and kneel and simply pray as best you know how. To the one who loves you, to Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit of God will hear your prayer, and He will come to live inside you, take up residence there, and make you a brand new person. It really does happen that way. It happens because of faith. You're not going to be alone. Other leaders of their church are going to be up here to help you and pray with you. But if you're here today, you raise your hand. Many of you did. I want you to have the courage to stand up for Christ. And say, yes, Pastor, I'm ready to take that next step. I want to give my life to Christ today. If you raised your hand, come right now. Come right now. Come on, come right now. Step out of your seat. Thank you for coming. Step right out of your seat and come kneel at this altar. Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. Many of you are coming. You raise your hand, step out and come and kneel at this altar. God bless you. God bless you. Many more of you are coming. Small group leaders and pastors, come and help us. You raise your hand. Just keep coming. Just come and pray. Seek the Lord today. He'll meet you here. Let's sing this chorus again while they come. Spirit move in this temple. Spirit move in my life. Spirit. while these are praying, if you're here and you say, you know what, Pastor, I've received that second dimension of relationship with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has taken up residence inside my heart, would you just take a few moments right where you're standing and thank Him for that? Would you lift your hands to heaven and just take a few moments and say, God, I thank you for the hound of heaven. I thank you for chasing me. I thank you for convicting me. I thank you for drawing me to Christ, whether that was years ago or just a few weeks ago or a few days ago. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for drawing me to yourself. Thank you for that work of the Spirit for making me like Jesus. Thank you for regenerating me. Thank you for sanctifying me. Thank you, O God, for giving me the guarantee, the assurance that I'm a child of God. I bless you today. I praise you today. I thank you for your grace and your mercy and your great love. We honor you in this place. And we thank you, Lord, for your incredible mercy that you've extended to us. We thank you for it, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for making me your temple. Thank you for making me your house where you live. I bless you today. I thank you today. I honor you today. Bless your name, Jesus. Now, those of you that are still standing, I want to challenge you. The last weekend of this series, we're calling it the Weekend of Fire, but that is the focal point where we're saying we want you to be prepared. I want you to pray that if you have yet to enter into that third dimension of relationship with the Holy Spirit, that's when it's going to happen. That we're going to pray. We're going to ask God to pour out His Spirit upon us, that we won't just have the Holy Spirit with us. We won't just have the Holy Spirit in us, but we will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, I've got some really good news. You don't have to wait till then to start asking. You don't have to wait to believe God. Just begin to pray. Maybe those times that in your prayer times of fasting that we're talking about during this series, just begin to say, Holy Spirit, fill me. That's the prayer that we've been praying, right? That's the prayer that we've been praying, asking God to do that. And so let's begin to say, Lord, take me to that next level of relationship with you, not just for my sake, but for the sake of the people that need Christ in their lives. Would you say amen? Amen. Praise God. I want to invite the water baptism candidates to get in position if they would. And we're going to celebrate with several folks. Josh, would you mind playing just a little bit longer? You have worked overtime. Give a silent applause to Josh there. He's awesome. All right. We are very excited to baptize these folks in the Lord, in water. And we are privileged today to celebrate with them a new life in Jesus Christ. And what a powerful picture of baptism today we've talked about. I want you to welcome Dory Boyer, first of all. Now, just to be clear, this is that second dimension, okay, of salvation. Just so we're clear. Dory, tell everybody about your relationship with Christ when you gave your heart to the Lord.
It was my freshman year in high school at a Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames passion play.
And why did you decide to be baptized today?
I just wanted to express physically what I know has gone on inside of me spiritually.
Next up is Roger Sanders. Make Roger welcome. Roger, tell everybody how old you are.
44.
I just wanted you to say that. Tell us about your relationship with Christ when you gave your heart to the Lord.
15 years ago in my church in Seymour, Indiana.
And why did you decide to be baptized?
I was only sprinkled then. I wanted to let everybody know that I'm on Jesus' team.
Roger, what's your confession of faith? I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Judy Eubanks is next. Make Judy welcome. How are you doing, Judy? Good. Tell us about your relationship with Christ and when you gave your heart to the Lord.
I was about 14. It was at a revival at a church I was attending at the time. Very powerful experience.
And why did you decide to be baptized today?
I decided to be baptized because Jesus invited me to, and He did it, and I want a closer relationship with the Holy Spirit.
This next candidate is Ty Cockrum. Welcome, Ty. Right over here, buddy. All right, Ty's mom and dad are Jim and Andrea Cockrum. Wave your hand, Jim and Andrea, right there. And Ty is adopted from China. And from an orphanage there. So today is the completion of that rescue. Yeah? That's awesome. Ty, do you love Jesus?
Yeah.
Do you want to be baptized today?
Yeah.
Awesome. This is Zane, Ty's brother, Zane Cockrum. Make him welcome. Zane, how old are you?
Seven.
Seven? I thought you were like 12. Zane, when did you give your life to Christ?
At home with Trey.
Right. And why did you decide to be baptized today?
Church team, my mom.
Matthew Lancaster. Hey, Matthew. How old are you?
10.
10. Have you given your life to Christ, Matthew?
Yes.
And why did you decide to be baptized today? To show that you're a follower of Christ, is that correct? Do you plan to be a follower of Jesus the rest of your life, buddy? We're going to switch baptizers here. I introduce our intern for the summer. UC Fraser is somebody that you know. UC is also studying for ministry, but he's doing it in a different manner. And part of that opportunities is to participate in communion, weddings, and baptism, funerals so far. So this is his first baptism. So, all right. And I'm sure Holly's okay with that. This is Holly Eganoff, and tell us, Holly, when you gave your life to Christ.
I was 19, driving to Kentucky Lake with my sister-in-law.
And why did you decide to be baptized today?
I want that closer walk with Jesus, and I want to recommit my life to follow Him, and I guess I want that third upon stage in my life now.
Thank you. Alberta Bullock is next. Make Alberta welcome. Should have holes in the floor. Right? Alberta, congratulations. We're very proud of you. Tell us about your relationship with Christ.
I had a relationship with Christ when I was a young child. I went to church a lot and was so excited getting to open right on them little envelopes I was putting in a nickel or diamond. And then I sewed cancer pads for the Red Cross. And love going to church and attending all the stuff. And then I backslid as I grew older. Now that I have God back in my life, it's the most important thing. And to bring others.
Our final candidate today is Barbara Parkhurst. Make Barbara welcome. All right, Barbara, how you feel? Good? Tell us about your relationship with God.
January 2nd of this year, I asked him to come into my life, and he has, and it's just... that this was the right thing.
Where did that happen when you gave your life to?
At my house.
Right. And why did you decide to be baptized today?
Something just kept telling me that I needed to get baptized. So that's why I'm here.
Why don't you stand to your feet, if you would. Would you put your hands together and give God praise for all the good things that's happened today in the house of God? Come on, don't patty cake. Give the Lord a good round of praise. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Awesome. You have a great day in the Lord. We love you. God bless you.